well, the pain and anguish of what people are enduring due to the pandemic was laid bare in a series of letters and emails sent to the Taoiseach in January and February of this year. We don't need reminding how high the case numbers and deaths were at the beginning of 2021. The correspondence centred around the debate at the time over mandatory hotel quarantine, with one writer imploring Micheál Martin to take a stronger position and implement the measure before it's too late, they said. A smaller number wrote fearing that quarantining would prevent them from seeing their sick or elderly relatives ever again. We have voiced up some of the letters this morning, beginning with this one.
You continue to let people travel from abroad and ask them so nicely to please be a nice person and quarantine at home. The small but dangerous percentage of Irish people who are the type to travel abroad are not the type to stay home. They will do as they please. We have done more than enough, are beyond fed up, and frustration has now turned to anger. Like most Irish people, I am normally too polite to complain directly to the people responsible. Instead, we watch each other struggle with our mental health and complain to each other at the kitchen table. But as you know from the last election, we make our feelings known at the ballot box.
And another writer spoke of how difficult lockdown had been for her and her family and the toll it had taken.
I am one of the lucky ones who has not been financially affected by this, but working from home is slowly driving me insane. I stare at the same walls every day and have no one to talk to except my kids. Have you tried to homeschool and work full time? I can't do it. So in order to get paid, my sons are missing out on their education. My partner lives abroad. I haven't seen him in a year. I didn't go and see him last summer, even though the cases were low, as we were advised not to. I thought it would be much better this year and easier to see him. Yet it is worse. You have given no consideration that not everyone wants to travel abroad for a holiday. It's to see loved ones. It's not the same. You now also want to lock us in a hotel at our own expense, even though we are healthy. Do you not realise how insane that is? Due to these measures, my partner broke up with me.
Just two of the hundreds of letters and emails sent to the Taoiseach by members of the public in January and February of this year. So what do they tell us about people's state of mind and how they were coping at what undoubtedly was one of the worst periods of the pandemic? We're joined this morning by psychologist Dr. Sabina Brennan. Dr. Brennan, thanks for being with us. These letters, just how important are they for getting that snapshot of how people were dealing with the pandemic at that time?
I think it is important to understand that, you know, the chronic stress that people have experienced for many are turning to frustration, as that first letter said, and then, you know, to anger. I mean, stress is very healthy when it's controlled. It gets us out of bed. It motivates us to achieve goals and helps us to pay attention to the details of our lives. And this type of stress doesn't lead to anger or irritability. But during the pandemic, many people are not only feeling chronically stressed by the pandemic, and poorly managed chronic stress is really detrimental to our physical, mental and brain health and will likely increase angry behaviours. But they are also being deprived of the usual healthy stressors in their lives, like playing sport and going on dates or giving talks at work or meeting new people. You know, there's the double whammy of the chronic stress, the lack of healthy stress. And then for some people, there's also too little, stress at all in their lives, in the sense that, they are staring at the same wall, four walls every day. And that leads to boredom, demotivation, depression and anxiety. And, you know, the CDC do a household survey every year, the Centre for Disease Control and Prevention. And in 2019, 11% of people surveyed experienced depression and anxiety. This year, that was up to 37%. So,
yeah, and the letters that we heard there, Dr. Brennan, are from people who they're only from the people who felt compelled to put their feelings down on paper, perhaps trying to feel that they were able to do something at least that is outside of their control. But for the hundreds of thousands of others who are struggling in their own way, who have lost loved ones, who have lost their job, who had no one to turn to for help, who had to grieve alone, how can they get help? What can they do?
I think, you know, if they're starting to feel anger, trying to understand, because, you know, anger isn't necessarily helpful in this instance, you know, and so what you want to try and do is sort of move from anger, which is probably stemming from, you know, feelings of overwhelm, feelings of helplessness, being fearful, and also perhaps being disrespected in the terms of, you know, their needs. I think it's important to try and figure out which of those is driving their anger so that they can perhaps move on. In a way, what people are experiencing is not dissimilar to what people go through, you know, when they are bereaved. And some people are actually bereaved, but others are grieving for loss of their former life, loss of their, you know, relationships, loss of their jobs even. And, you know, often we go through stages of denial. Anger is one of those stages of grief. Depression is another. And the way out and the way to deal with that in a way is acceptance. Now, that doesn't mean not taking action if you feel something is not the appropriate action by government, for example. It just means acceptance of the situation in a more controlled way so that you can explore options and put new plans in place for yourself to cope with the situation.
It sounds easy, but it's not easy. And it's a long, long road from anger to acceptance. And I suppose I'm wondering, when we come out the other side, what are you anticipating in terms of the impact on all of our mental health? Will we be left to pick up the pieces by ourselves?
I think that I think it would be important that we're not. And I think it would be important to give people tools. I think some people are coping better than others because they have certain tools, you know, in terms of managing their stress levels. That is key, because what happens when you're chronically stressed is the emotional part of your brain overrules the rational part of your brain. And ordinarily, it's the reverse. And that allows you to cope better. I think really what needs to happen is, you know, for people to be given tools to understand that, you know, and this applies to, you know, children, everyone, you know, how to manage that stress. And I mean, really key, one thing is people have forgotten to have fun. They have forgotten to enjoy life, and chronic stress can do that. And it's really important to find ways every day to do something that gives you joy, to spend time in nature, to spend time in daylight, to do things where you can lose yourself. And that can offer you an escape room from a house that might be crowded with loved ones, but people who are getting on each other's nerves. Yeah. Prioritizing sleep and reintroducing routine is critical, both for helping to reintegrate into, you know, going back to work, but also to relieve the brain fog that a lot of people are experiencing.
Okay.
They can't even think straight, you know, so reintroduce those routines that you had before lockdown. They will help immensely with all of those experiences.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, psychologist Dr. Sabina Brennan.